This is consumer genetic engineering. I think it's really going to become a consumer industry. What do I want? I want my yeast, I want them to smell like this. I want them to ferment faster. Yeast that glow, we give people the ability to take a gene from a jellyfish and stick it in a yeast that they're going to use to brew or bake or something like that. And with the FDA, everything is just no. What about this? No. How much of this can be allowed in there? Nothing. Zero. No. No.
Josiah Zahner is a scientist and entrepreneur who quit his government job in a NASA lab to start a business in his garage.
So the Odin is a consumer synthetic biology company, but I kind of like to view us all as a sort of like biohacker collective.
The computer hackers of the 80s and 90s transformed society at the end of the 20th century, and Zahner believes it will be do-it-yourself genetic engineers, biohackers, who will transform it in the 21st.
It's going to be a consumer industry. Consumers drive like a lot of technological advancement. And if you go on the market and try to find tools that somebody can use to do experiments on the cutting edge of scientific research, there's no like all-encompassing kit or guide or protocol. So what people end up doing is they have no idea where to start.
His company's first product was a $150 kit that gives amateurs access to the cutting edge genetic engineering tool CRISPR. But if Zahner's ultimate goal is to put genetic modification in the hands of the masses, he needed to make things even simpler.
So how do you give people the ability to engineer something and then be able to use it? Well, the simplest way to do that is yeast. Like yeast is used in baking, yeast is used in brewing, fermentation, so many different things.
Enter his new product, a kit allowing anyone to make yeast fluorescent by inserting a gene from a jellyfish. If the CRISPR kit is akin to an open-ended programming tool for advanced users, the yeast kit is more like a ready-to-use program you download from the App Store.
Consumers don't necessarily want to build something from scratch. The majority of people just want to use it. I just want to be able to use this to, you know, make a new organism.
Several breweries began to put the yeast app to use right away, brewing fluorescent beer. One even offered to partner with him to create a special blend. When a local reporter began writing up a story about the partnership, word reached the Food and Drug Administration, which gave Zahner a call and informed him he was selling an unapproved food additive.
Just for your background information, anything that imports colors to food is considered a color additive. And under the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, color additives need to have pre-market approval by FDA.
They can't technically regulate our kits because our kits aren't food. They can only really regulate the way we market our kits. We can tell people, you can get these kits and use them to engineer yeast. And wouldn't it be cool if someday you could use engineer yeast to brew, right? Like, hypothetically.
In another portion of the call, the FDA tells Zahner that he should also consider policing how his customers use the yeast they modify with his kit.
You know, sometimes what people will do is they'll put something on their website and they'll market it for one use, but it's clear people are buying it and using it for another use. You may want to try and keep an eye on that. It's a way to, I think, kind of help keep you out of trouble.
One of the things I asked him was, if I still market this kit as used for brewing, what can you do?
Well, there's a number of things that we can do, from a warning letter to it got to the point where we would, you know, seize material. I mean, I think that would be unlikely, I would hope.
This is who I'm dealing with, a bunch of bullies, like a bunch of people who are just out there bullying people into doing what they want, not for scientific reasons, not for the health of the public, not for the betterment of the public, just because. This jellyfish protein has been used in animal and science research for decades. Like, you can literally go online and find videos and images of whole animals that have this protein in their whole body. Not only can you find these mice that are glowing green, I've ingested it, people I know have ingested it, we've tested it, and there's no safety concern that we can find. So, like, what is the rationale behind this?
What happened to Zahner is not an isolated incident, but part of an industry-wide trend.
If you're an entrepreneur developing a regulated article, the costs to getting that product to market are extremely high.
Anthony Evans is a founder of Taxa, a San Francisco-based synthetic biology company that aims to create consumer products through genetic engineering. One of Taxa's first big products was a glowing plant, which they aim to make bright enough to supplement household lighting one day. And they are currently developing a fragrant moss meant to replace conventional air fresheners.
So rather than using petroleum inputs and creating toxic waste byproducts, the moss grows in your home and it uses sunlight, carbon dioxide, and water to produce the fragrance just the way that it's done in nature and gently fragrance your home. The environmental benefits of these technologies are huge. If you want to move to a less polluting ecosystem, then biotechnology is the way to get that.
Evan says he's had products jammed up by the FDA and the EPA in the past, and believes that consumer synthetic biology is on the brink of some major breakthroughs if only government would loosen its grip.
There's a product called the Arctic Apple that just got approved by both the FDA and the USDA, and I believe it was 14 or 15 years in regulatory purview. And yet, we know that most of this technology is safe. That cost is coming in because, you know, of the political landscape around this, not because there are actually risks underneath. If you look at the key things that have enabled the amazing amount of innovation that we've seen in Silicon Valley in the last 10, 20 years, it is falling costs of input. Back in 1999, you needed $1 million to create a website and have a web server. Now you need only a few thousand dollars. As costs fall, then the amount of innovation that can happen rapidly accelerates. We're seeing, from a technology perspective, the same trends happening in our field, synthetic biology. It's driven by three primary technologies: the cost of reading DNA, DNA sequencing, the cost of writing DNA, DNA synthesis, and then the one that I think people don't necessarily recognize as well is robotics. What we're not seeing is falling costs within regulatory approvals. So that's why a lot of entrepreneurs are starting in the edges, right? In the fringes, in the places where there aren't regulations. And that makes sense because you want to get as low cost to market as you can.
A big challenge for startups like this is that the FDA and EPA often require regulatory approval of products before they go to market, even on common modifications that seem to pose little risk.
And all the time you're going through that review process, you don't even know if there's a market for your product at the end of the day because you're not allowed to market it. It's pre-market approval that's much more damaging to innovation in the space because it creates an expensive, in time and money, hurdle to getting something to market.
Evan says that the high compliance costs lock out most small startup experiments in favor of large cash crops like corn or wheat.
As a result of the cost of bringing these products to market, which are somewhere between $10 and $100 million, you can only create a product if you think you're going to sell more than $100 million worth of that product. We aren't able to measure the number of those startups or products that could have come to market because by their nature, they're stopped from ever existing in the first place. That also has a more leverage cost because technology by its nature feeds on other technology. You have this exponential growth that comes in. It's sort of, you can think of it like a network where the amount of innovation is driven by the connectivity of the nodes in the system rather than just the number of nodes. And therefore, when you squash out a lot of those nodes, you're also reducing the overall rate of progress. And at the moment, we have no idea how much we're inhibiting that. We just know that we are because it's almost impossible to launch a plant GMO company if you're focusing on regulated articles.
FDA officials declined interview requests for this story, but the agency does have a list of generally recognized as safe or GRAS substances that don't require pre-market approval.
The amount of generally recognized as safe notices on their website is ridiculously small. The tests that I did that everybody else does for these GRAS notices, like allergenicity, toxicity, these tests literally took me 30 minutes. It's 2017. You're telling me I can't send you a protein sequence and you could run these tests yourself and, you know, you have a pipeline that does it in 30 seconds.
The idea that just because it's genetic engineering, it's more dangerous is completely nonsense. Let's take our fragrant moss as an example. Explore the scenarios that causes harm. A healthy moss that's already, we know, is non-toxic, and it's a gene that comes from another plant, and it makes a fragrant molecule that's in probably every perfume on the planet. We know, what's the narrative there about where it's causing damage? It's just the fear of the unknown that says, oh, well, we just don't know.
With these government organizations, their whole goal is to not say anything that could later be used against them. So everything is just no.
Evans and Zahner both continue their work in hopes that the democratization of science will continue allowing innovation to just route around government roadblocks.
Genetic engineering is already all around us in everything. You know, it's in your medicine, it's in your food, it's in your children. There's nothing you can do to get away from this. The FDA, they're not even at the level of biohacking. They don't even really understand that it's going on. And I mean, that's great for like biohackers and people like me. We're effectively moving so fast, we're ahead of the regulation.
If the last century was the century of physics and the previous century was the century of chemistry, this century is going to be the century of biology. And as a result, the countries that create the right regulatory environments that permit the development of this technology and the introduction of novel products will gain a significant strategic advantage and competitive advantage over countries that don't do that.